You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
We got a beautiful show. We got some beautiful hosts. We got a beautiful game. We got taste. We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests.
Cricket. Hello, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of County Cricket Natters in conjunction with Women's Cricket Chat. Yes, we're back to cover the Charlotte Edwards Cup round three. I'm Sam Dowling and I'm joined by three wonderful, wonderful human beings. First up, Hannah Thompson-Radford, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. Busy day for you? Bit of a, been out for a swim? I know you love to go for a swim.
Yeah, first thing in the morning, you know, before 8 o'clock, get that swim in.
Excellent. That's a perfect start to the day. And I'm also delighted to be joined by the skipper of the Western Storm and fellow Somerset commentator, Sophie Luff. Hey, Sophie, back from your road trip?
Evening, Sam. Yeah, we are back in the West Country, which is always good.
Oh, I'm very, very jealous right now. And last, but very far from least, it's Sunrise star Joe Gardner. Hey, Joe, you all right?
Evening, Sam. Yeah, I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. Right, well, without further ado, let's crack on because we've got four games to get through in round three. Let's start, I don't know, let's go to the Lightning versus the Thunder, just the name of that. Caught my eyes. Lightning won by 5 wickets. It's their first ever victory in the tournament. They started with back-to-back defeats against the Diamonds and the Vipers. Thunder batted first. Huge stand between Emma Lamb and Georgie Boyce. Tammy Bowman, though, 59 for her. She helped knock them off. I won't say any more because I know, Hannah, you were at that game. How was it for you, Hannah? All worked technically from the commentary perspective too?
Yeah, so in the comms box, which was in an interesting location, up about 50 odd steps in an industrial kind of side, no lifts, no toilets, which was obviously very inconvenient for being pregnant. I was up there, but the view was absolutely amazing. And Lightning were a little bit concerned to begin with, to be fair, because that partnership between Georgie Boyce and Emma Lamb, 130, it's the second highest in the Charlotte Edwards Cup so far across the couple of years it's been running. But unfortunately, Thunder lost, I think it was 5 wickets for 22 runs. So although they built a really good platform of 130, they ended their innings on just 152 for 5, which was a little bit below par for that Leicestershire ground. But like you said, Lightning came back out and they've recorded their first win. Tammy Bowman scoring her 59, backed up by Ella Claridge, who came in at number three, and she's only 19 years old as well. So a lot of promise for her, a different role for her to play as well. And with the ball, Piper Cleary picked up 3 wickets and bowled really, really nicely against her old side.
She's an Australian, right?
Yes, yeah, so she's there overseas for this year.
Ah, wonderful. And Joe, how do you see it? It's not the group you're in, but that other group, Southern Vipers, well clear at the top, but it's now looking, because of that victory, it's looking really tight. Each of the other 3 sides have won 1 game and lost 2.
Yeah, certainly makes it interesting going into the second round of fixtures, like against each team kind of thing in rounds 4, 5 and 6. It looks like Vipers had quite a low scoring thriller up north, to be fair. And it's like one of those, I think, when you're kind of a team that's used to winning and getting across the line, those victories almost mean even more in those tight games where you're put up against it a little bit. But yeah, no, that group is wide open for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sophie, I mean, there's runs for other people, Boyce and Tammy Beaumont as well. But Emma Lamb, if she's not already a star, she's a star in the making.
Yeah, she's certainly one to watch, isn't she? I've actually spent a lot of time with Lammy on numerous academy programmes in the past. And yeah, she's a genuine all-rounder as well now. It's not just weight of runs that she's getting. She's contributing with the ball and has always been a good fielder. So yeah, I'd be confident that she'd probably be in an England shirt this summer. So yeah, as much as she's going to be successful and moving on to the next level, it might be a little bit of a loss for Thunder, and they'll have to find a replacement at the top of the order if she does get that call up.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed for her that she does. And Hannah, we were having a quick look earlier on, weren't we? There was a second 11 game going on for the Lightning, and there's certainly Beth Harmer is pushing for a spot. She was in and around for the first team, wasn't she, for the first couple of weeks?
Yeah, no, she definitely has been around that squad, and that's one way to kind of put your hand up, isn't it? Retired, 100 not out, but it was against the university team as well. So perhaps the opposition, you know, could be a little bit more improved, perhaps. But to score 100, you can never take that away from anyone, can you? And she's been an inspiration for so many local girls in the area as well. So definitely putting her hands up for sure.
Yeah, they were in awe of her, weren't they, even though she wasn't playing the other week?
Yeah, so in the opening fixture, she had her kind of all-stars local team came down, and one of the coaches was there and said to the little ones, you know, even if you don't get selected in the starting 11, you still have a role within the team. And you could see these little girls like looking up at Beth, like looking at her like she's, you know, they want to be her. Pure just inspiration, pure role model. And she'll be in the squad at some point in the season. I'm absolutely sure of it.
Yeah, I think you may well be right there. She's certainly knocking down that door. Right, let's move on. Let's switch groups, shall we? Let's go to Central Sparks versus the Sunrisers. And it was a 24-run victory for the Sparks in the end. They batted first and there was a huge early wicket. Izzy Wong, we've talked about her already lots on the podcast, and I'm sure we will talk about her plenty more. Naomi Dottani got her, but then it was all about the Joneses, in particular Amy, who made 80 off 48. She's got 172 runs in the tournament. In reply, Sunrisers gave it a good go. Dottani top scored with 51. Georgie Scrivens, just 18 years old, she made 26. A couple of wickets each for Sarah Glenn, Hannah Baker, Grace Potts and Emily Arlott. Joe, what went wrong there? Close, but just not quite close enough.
Yeah, that's right, Sam. I think like when we trained there on Friday afternoon and the groundsman were just setting out the boundaries, and I saw the boundaries and I was like, these are tiny. There's going to be some bombs hit tomorrow. So for us to bowl first and then only get 32 and take the wicket of Wongi in the power play, we were really pleased at that point. Power play had gone exactly how we probably would have wanted it. It didn't really look to get away from us. But on that wicket, obviously, Jonesy's, both of them, just stuck around for a bit and then almost set the platform to accelerate in those kind of middle to late overs. We struggled to break the partnership. And then when Eve got out, Abby Freeborn came in and played a nice hand with Amy Jones. And yeah, she cleared the rope. And there were a few big overs in that middle period, which kind of put us on the back foot. Struggled to take wickets as regularly as we had done in the previous game against Western Storm. But we still felt like on, obviously with those short boundaries on that pitch, that we pegged it back quite well. I think in the last four overs, they only scored 27. But say, I think it was overs, what would it have been? 15 and 16 themselves have gone for 29.
Yeah.
So we thought we pegged it back at the halfway point and were relatively confident if we got a couple of big partnerships as Sparks did, that we could chase it down. But yeah, we again, our batting innings, we had a good power play. We were 43 for one, losing that wicket on the last ball of the power play. And then Cords ended up getting out like the next ball. So we'd lost two wickets and two balls, and then kind of me and Dats were just thinking about rebuilding at that point, knowing that we could kind of accelerate the innings on as they had done, targeting the short boundary with a kind of left-right-hand combo. I got out, offered not very much. Dats stuck around for a bit and got herself a nice little 50, batted really nicely. But yeah, 24 runs short in the end, but it was another competitive performance from us, which again, when you look at kind of where we were last year as a side, it was good. There were positives to be taken of for sure.
Yeah, Hannah, what do you make, and you don't have to look at Joe when you say this, but what do you make of Sunrisers aside? Because they're a relatively young team, aren't they? And they're putting up spirited fights. And I don't mean to sound patronising, but as Joe said, I think it's fair to agree there are signs of promise there.
Yeah, I think signs of promise is such a good way to look at it. And I think from what I've seen and from players I've spoken to so far, there is that energy and feeling that Sunrisers are competitive, and it is like, and you guys are bridging that gap a bit closer. And it might not be about crossing the line, but just getting to the line, if that makes sense at all. You know, like compared to where you were the first year last year, it feels like a massive change. But there's so much potential. And I didn't want to bring it up, but obviously like the Western Storm match the other day was so close. If that's not a sign of what's to come, then, you know, like you can't write Sunrisers out at all. And there's so much energy behind what all of the players are doing. There's some fresh faces as well, like getting Abtahar Maqsood involved and fresh face as a coach, you know, having Laura Marsham at interim at the moment, which I've heard rumours that players do want her to stick around and stay. I don't know if Joey wants to comment on that, but I have heard from one of her teammates that is the vibe in camp at the moment. But yeah, but you know, there's so much to come, and we're still in the early phases of this regional structure as well. You know, it'd be silly to kind of write anyone off too soon.
Yeah, great. And Sophie, there's no shame in going down to an Amy Jones masterclass, is there?
No, we were on the wrong side of that one last year, actually, in the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy. She smashed 150 against us. So, yeah, she's very difficult to bowl at, very difficult to set a field for. She's just a very good player, isn't she? And she's obviously put her hand up in pretty much every Sparks game so far. I'm not saying that they're relying on her, but I guess they've got a combination where they feel that other players can bat around her. And I guess that's given Wongi a little bit of license at the top of the order as well, knowing that you've got Amy Jones coming in at three. Because if Wongi gets a few, then, you know, that's a bonus. If she doesn't, then you've got a world-class player coming in at number three.
Yeah, it certainly does help. All right, let's stay in that group, stay in group one. Let's go to Beckenham, the road that is Beckenham. Beautiful place to play cricket. Western Storm, Sophie Luff's Western Storm took on South East Stars. The Storm were put in and they started absolutely magnificently. What was it? 81 for the first wicket. Georgia Hennessy made around 50, Heather Knight 35. They ended up on 145 for six, though. It just shows how momentum can change in T20 with a few wickets. Now, in response, Stars were in a bit of a trouble. 40 for three. Claire Nicholas was in a hat-trick. In a hat-trick? On a hat-trick. In the fourth over, but there was this wonderful stand between Eilish Cranston, who made 66 unbeaten, and Kalia Moore, who made 57. Stars in the end got home relatively comfortably, 148 for three with an over to spare. Sophie, I mean, how did you see that game?
I saw that we were probably 20 runs light with the bat, to be honest. It was a really good deck at Beckenham, which was a surprise given that it rained pretty much all day the day before. But having played there before, it's usually a pretty good wicket. We weren't too bothered about losing the toss and being inserted. I think if I'd won it, we would have looked to bat anyway and get runs on the board and put them under pressure. But we felt that we were 20 runs light, particularly from where we were. Like you said, we had a really good opening stand between Georgia Hennessy and Heather Knight. Heather unluckily ran out of the non-striker's end, which is the worst way to get out in cricket, isn't it? And not ideal when you've got the England skipper going really nicely as well. But it's just one of those things. And we just lost a little bit of momentum. So Heather got out, and then I think Georgia probably got out a couple overs later. And then we always had sort of new batters coming in, trying to push the run rate. And we just didn't quite get up to that 160 mark, which is what we thought would be par. But the way that we started with the ball, Claire Nicholas, CT as we call her, was exceptional. She's obviously got a very good record from her KSL days. And she pretty much showed us all that she's still more than capable with the ball, always loves to get in the battle. And she got two big scalps in Bryony Smith and Alice Capsey, 2-2. And to be fair, we felt like we were right in the game then. They had a brilliant partnership. They didn't really look to take much risk. It was like one of those games, especially as captain, where I felt like the game just, I don't really know where it got away from us, because they almost like cruised it. At one stage, it didn't look like they were going to get there. But they were just they ran really well. They didn't bludgeon the boundary. It was quite a big outfield at Beckenham, 70 yards, something ridiculous. And they just ran really well between the wickets. Ailish was very smart in the areas that she hit. She loves a little ramp over the keeper, which as captain is very annoying. I was tempted to get a backstop in at one point. They just got there with one over to spare. And I guess that's where we were sort of 15 to 20 runs light.
Yeah, I was looking at the highlights a bit earlier on, and Heather Knight's dismissal, it's one of the unluckiest ways to go. She stood there for what felt like an eternity, didn't she? Just almost contemplating. She just couldn't believe it, could she?
No, and it's just one of those things, isn't it? Heno, Georgia, she strikes the ball pretty hard. So ADR did well to get a finger on it. And it's just one of those things. Heather was obviously going really nicely. She's looked really good in good touch, as you'd expect from her. Just one of those things.
Yeah, it is. Joe, what do you make of the Southeastern Stars then? They used 8 bowlers in that game, which I thought was quite interesting. Like, how can you settle as batters when they're using 8 bowlers?
Yeah, it's always a challenge, especially I think kind of one over spells have been quite a thing. I know we've done a Sunrisers and obviously Southeast Stars using 8 bowlers. I guess it's always tricky to settle as a batter, but obviously it sounded like Storm did pretty well up top, certainly, and then just couldn't quite continue that momentum through the innings. I think Ailish has had a really, really promising start to the tournament, to be fair to her. She got 60 not out against us. And like Sophie said, the ramps and the shots behind the wicket are quite hard to defend, I guess, as both a bowling and a fielding unit, slightly different angles to work with and things like that. And it can just be a bit of a nightmare, I guess. And if you can't get if you have chances against those batters and you can't necessarily take them, then it becomes a bit more difficult for you.
Yeah, and Hannah, quick word on Ailish Cranston. Relatively quiet year last year, and I remember she set the final alight in that with that knock against the Northern Diamond. She's a left-hander, and they're relatively few and far between. She's still quite young, but she's been playing pro cricket since she was 13 when she made her Hampshire debut. But she's another one that's perhaps going to be pushing on for international honours, do you reckon?
Yeah, I was going to say left-hander, obviously a bit of a rarity, but it's one of those things, isn't it? Because you can't just judge someone on the last kind of few innings. You need to see that consistency across the whole kind of summer ahead. And we've got so much more cricket to play, but you can never deny, a left-hander coming in. I guess it's more for those two, the pros who kind of go up and face and have to set fields and the rest of it. But Definitely knocking on the door, but perhaps there's some other players just ahead of her at the moment.
Sophie, do you get annoyed when you have to set when the left-handers come out?
I shouldn't say this, but they're a captain's worst nightmare, aren't they? And actually, the way that the group set up, we're the only team in that group without any. I don't know whether it's a West Country thing that we just don't produce left-handers down here, but yeah, we're struggling in that department. And I feel like the other teams have got a few options, especially Sparks. Sparks seem to have quite a few. Whether they're all from the West Midlands or they've relocated there, there's something in the water there, obviously.
In the West Country, we always do things the right way round. That's how it is. That's what it is. All right, one final game then. Southern Vipers, Joe, you touched on it a little bit earlier. They travelled to the Northern Diamonds and properly up north as well, Chester Street. Long old road trip for them. Hampshire to Durham, that is a serious effort. It was worth it, though, for the Vipers. But they might have felt in a little bit of trouble at the halfway stage. They were 126 all out. Katie Levick's leg spin, she claimed 5 for 15. Danny Wyatt top scored with 48. But the Vipers, they ended up winning by 11 runs. They started quite well, the Diamonds, but Bess Heath's 50 was the best of it. Hannah, how did you see that game? Vipers would have been feeling under a little bit of pressure halfway through.
Yeah, you would have thought so. And I think, was it Joey, you said it earlier, low-scoring thriller. A bit of pressure, but obviously it's a repeat of last year's semi-final eliminator, whatever they kind of called it, when the Diamonds did come out on top. So a bit of a revenge match from the Southern Vipers. But yeah, they can't really complain, can they? They're top in their group. And at the moment, they've got a bit of a gap to play with.
Yeah, Joe, talk to me about Miss Levick's leg spin. 5 for 15, that's not a bad effort in a white win 20 over game.
Yeah, that's a serious effort, isn't it? To kind of take the innings, I guess, by the scruff of your neck and take 5 wickets. I'm sure many bowlers would aspire to take 5, certainly in a T20. Obviously, you've only got 24 balls to have that impact. Sometimes not even that many. So, yeah, no, that was a serious performance. And I think a lot of people around the country can appreciate that when, obviously, Katie Levick's on form, she's a tricky customer to try and get away and score runs off. So it's not too much of a surprise to see her having a really good performance up there.
Yeah, what are you like against leg spin, Joe? Eyes light up, or are you a bit... What are you like against spin generally?
I think I used to probably be a bit like that. I've probably tamed down a little bit now. Certainly, right, I faced Glennie on the weekend and she bowled really nicely as well. Took a couple of wickets in a maiden, didn't go for many runs. So, yeah, no, leg spin, you always have to be wary. Because, yeah, ball turning away from the back can always cause a few problems.
Yeah, certainly can. Sophie, do you feel... I'm just having a look at the tables now. So we're 3 rounds in. Sparks are top, well clear. 5 clear of South East Stars in Group 1. Southern Vipers are well clear at the top of Group 2. So at what point, as a skipper, do you start thinking, do you start looking into the other group? Because obviously it's just that best place second team that qualifies.
Yeah, it's not something that I've looked at too closely at the minute. Obviously, we've got our own destiny to worry about first and foremost. You know, we've only won one game so far, so we've got to definitely try and beat Joe and the Sunrisers on Sunday to try and climb up that table a little bit further and put Sparks and Stars under pressure. But look, T20, you know, anyone can win it on the day. I genuinely believe that. It only takes one player to sort of get a good score, take 5 wickets, whatever it is, and have a day out and you can come out on top. So, yeah, we're confident going into our last 3 games. I guess once we've played maybe, yeah, 4 or 5 games, you know sort of where you're at and what you need to do. I mean, last year we were unlucky. We got pipped on net run rate, which really cost us, and we probably needed to be a little bit more wary of what the situation was in the other group. And, you know, at the end of the day, Diamonds got a bonus point and we couldn't do anything about that. That was out of our control. But maybe we could have looked to have tried to control our bonus point situation a little bit better earlier in the competition.
Oh, it's not easy, is it, being a skipper? You've got to juggle all these things. So we've got a few days off now, and then Sunday, Central Sparks versus South East Stars at Edgbaston, Northern Diamonds versus the Thunder at Headingley, Loughborough Lightning versus the Southern Vipers at Trent Bridge, and that game that Sophie just mentioned, Western Storm versus the Sunrisers at Taunton. In fact, we're all four of us are going to be there for that. How about that? Hannah, you're going to be on comms, aren't you? Looking forward to that one?
I cannot wait to get home. Honestly, it's my homeland, you know, where it all began.
I know. I was going to say, oh, go on, you can tell us. This way you prefer commentating, isn't it? But I think you already have told us that. Go on then. I'll put you're in the middle. And actually, of my screen, I can see the three of you on Zoom. Hannah, you are in the middle of Joe and Sophie, keeping them apart. How do you see that one going, Hannah?
I cannot believe you just asked me that.
I know, but, you know, it's a hard-hitting interview, this, isn't it? Come on.
Well, if it's anything like last time, it's going to be very, very, very close. But it just depends who bats first, I think who's going to put... It's all about the toss, you know. I'm going to just sit on the fence. You know, whoever wins a toss goes into bats first, you know, on an absolute road at Taunton, will absolutely pummel the runs and will put the pressure on the other side and the trace won't be on.
There you go, Sophie. If you win the toss and bowl first now, then you're not going to be... Hannah won't talk to you again.
No, because she'll like to chase it and then it'll be absolutely fine.
Joe?
Yeah, I've not had much luck with the toss either. So, yeah, difficult one. I'll be trying my best. But, yeah, I'm one up on Kelly, actually. I won the one at Chelmsford, so, yeah.
Oh, well, let's see how that goes. Joe, road trip then for you lot. When do you set off? Are you coming up Saturday night or down, isn't it? Across down Saturday night?
Yeah, Saturday we'll make our way down, all in prep for the Champions League final on Saturday night, obviously.
Oh,
it's
you're
the
one
most
of
important
those,
event,
right?
You?
I forgot you're one of those. Oh, well, we won't talk about yesterday. Well, good. You can watch the Champions League final in one of Taunton's many fine establishments. I mean, that's what they are. Therefore, after all. Right, we'll leave it there for this show. We'll be back after Sunday's games to round up all of those. We'll see if Joe and Sophie are still chatting to each other. We might need Hannah to physically keep them apart. Joe Gardner, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Sam. Great to be on. Cheers.
Thanks. Lovely to have you. Sophie Lough, brilliant to have you joining us as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam. I'll see you on comms on Sunday.
Yes, you will. And Hannah, thank you to you as ever. I'll see you on Sunday too, Hannah.
Yeah, thank you. And sorry for sitting on the fence, but I think you know who I'm supporting, really.
Yeah, we all do, really. Home is where the heart is. Right, well, thank you very much for all of you for joining us on this Charlotte Edwards Cup review. County Cricket Natters in conjunction with Women's Cricket Chat. Please do share, listen, comment, good or bad. Ideally good, but... you know, it's up to you. And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, look after yourselves and keep supporting the Charlotte Edwards Cup.
We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Sports Social Podcast Network.